Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Monday, everybody.
A hot one. Wow.
Very, and it only gets hotter from here, folks.
Yeah, my thermometer in the car was saying 99 degrees. Oh, my. Glad I didn't leave Joey in the car today. Right?
Ha. You would be the guy that needs to have PSAs that remind you not to leave your kid in a scalding hot car.
No, I always make sure to, when I buy a tall boy, I put it in Joey's lap, so I always remember to get him.
That sounds entirely on brand. Yeah,
that bottle of Jack Daniels? Oh, Joey, I got to go get him.
Yeah, it's only apparently going to get hotter as the week goes on, like 90 through at least Thursday. They were talking 90, for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, too, but now it just looks like we might have to settle for a balmy 88 instead those 2 days.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Good thing we don't have to, like, venture outside or do any sort of, like, actual physical labor or anything. We just got to do this, although, I'm not going to lie, right now, watching the Tigers feels like the most physical labor of all, really. My God. You had a series against Washington, a team that you were expected to beat because they're not any better than you are, and a team against Houston, who's been awful this season, and of those six games, you managed to take two of them. I'm not going to lie. My interest level in this team is just rapidly crashing right now. And maybe it's just because I'm one of these weird fans that has expectations of my sports teams.
Have been able to shake that by now.
You would think that, but not so much. And now you're going to face Atlanta, who is a team currently sitting 7 games above 500. I can't exactly, I can't really keep myself having much of a vested interest in this team. And I'm really kind of curious, am I out on an island on this?
No.
Like, as we're going into a team that is currently in a wild card spot in the Braves for 3 games, like, I feel like we are steadily careening towards the part of the year where the Tigers are becoming just like summer background noise, basically.
It's kind of sad because, when March or April hits, we got that high expectations, and then they just come crashing down.
And I didn't even have that high of expectations. I figured you'd contend originally. I figured, okay, they'll contend until, for maybe a couple weeks, and then we'll be done with it. And then they kept just being good enough to, hang around, 2 games back in the wild card. Now you're down to 5 games out. 5.5, sorry. And I'm not necessarily on team trade everything. Like, I'm not exactly on team trade Scoobal or anything like that. And all I'm saying is if Scott Harris were still to gift us, say, a Bo Bichette and or a Vlad Guerrero Jr. for Christmas in July, I wouldn't be mad at it. But as presently constructed right now, it's going to be hard for me to not just kind of put it on in the background while outside drinking and not pay up much more mind. I don't know I can do this topic every day. Do you even care about the Tigers? That's kind of where we find ourselves right now.
I'm looking up, because you can't go with TV ratings considering that Comcast and Bally's are having a tiff.
Yet again.
I'm trying to find the recent attendance for Tigers games.
Yeah, well, the attendance doesn't even, because you'll remember this team was doing pretty decent in attendance despite not being all that good, because it's summer and people want an excuse to go outside and drink and have fun and whatnot. And it's not always necessarily about the Tigers themselves. Look at the Pistons last year. They were middle of the pack in attendance and were far and away the worst team in basketball.
Yeah.
So you can't always necessarily judge the attendance based on that. I know plenty of people in lesser baseball markets than this, that would go to their games, local team's games, just to, it's a nice day, let's go out and drink, and if we happen to win a ball game, great. And I feel like that's kind of where we're headed here, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, and I'm not much of a baseball guru to really know how to fix this.
Acquire some bats. That's the big one. That's the thing I keep saying. Like, any sort of hitting would be fantastic. We're not going to get it, of course. But my, wouldn't it be nice? I mean, Andy Ibañez is still tearing the cover off the ball. Matt Vierling's been doing good for what he is. Same for Wensiel Perez and Gio Urshela. Like, you have a couple guys that are doing, and even Riley Green's starting to kind of get back to, get to what we were hoping he would be. But a couple more decent guys on offense would, in my world, would make, I feel, all the difference. That, because your pitching, certainly your starting pitching is great. Tarek Skubal's having an all-star caliber season. Jack Flaherty, if the current pace of things keeps up, he's going to be your biggest trade chip at the deadline. Reese Olson's had a couple bad games, but after he started the year going 1-6 or whatever, despite the fact that he was pitching lights out every night, like, that's the sort of thing that gets to you after a while.
So back to my question about attendance. I did look it up. That last game against the Nationals, the Nationals. Mm-hmm. I think you're right, because attendance was 21,900 people.
Well, to be fair, that's usually how that goes, man. Like, people will show up because it's
something
nice
to do. Yeah.
It's something to do.
Buy a lot for Father's Day weekend. Hey, let's go take Dad out for a baseball game. I don't want to go. Tigers suck. Come on, Dad, let's go.
Oh,
it's hot in here. I'm burning up.
You kidding me? The dads are still the ones that are like 90% of the old the guys are like 90% of your people who are actually into baseball.
Come on, son, we're going to baseball. I don't want to go. The Tigers suck. Come on, I'll get your pretzel.
So they're apparently averaging 20,000 fans a night, which still puts them ahead of like six other teams. Of course, you can guess who dead last is, I think.
Actually, I don't think I'd be able to.
Oh, come on. This is easy.
Be a bad baseball market, apparently.
A bad team that's getting ready to leave their baseball market.
Oh, A's.
Very good.
Yay.
Nicely done, sir.
Yeah, I've been paying attention.
From there, Miami, Tampa Bay, the White Sox, KC, and of course Pittsburgh, who you're barely beating out. But again, Pittsburgh hasn't had a good team in forever, so they're not used to that.
No.
Beautiful stadium, by the way, but not much of a team to speak of.
Hey, weren't you supposed to go there?
Well, I was, and that might not be happening now. We'll talk about that coming up. Well, we'll talk about, not necessarily talk about me not going, but talk about what it is that's keeping me here in the thumb next weekend. We'll get to that momentarily, maybe later or not. But I think that's kind of where I'm at as far as the Tigers go. Like, it's very much, I am in a place where it's entertaining, like it's like background noise for a nice summer afternoon of drinking, and not any more than that.
Yeah, there's really not anything on the line.
There's not, and that's kind of the other issue. Like, there's not. That's kind of the big issue. Like, you feel like you have no stakes in this thing, because it's not like you're competing for much of anything. Like, you're not. You're out of the wild card race. You're out of the. You were never in your divisional race. That much you kind of just knew from the jump that you were not going to contend there. It was just a nice, pleasant surprise. Like, hey, we're only two games out of the wild card. Oh, how quickly that changed. Now, maybe they could do something crazy to completely change my opinion of the thing. I mean, you've got the White Sox next weekend. Maybe if you go and take 2 out of 3 from the Braves and sweep the White Sox, maybe you could win me and a significant part of your fan base back enough to make it more foreground viewing as opposed to background noise. You know, that's possible, not very likely.
You're a dreamer.
Yeah, I've been told that, but I'm not the only one. I don't know. But no, that's just kind of where this team just has me at. Like, it's frustrating too, because especially it's a time of the year where baseball's all we got, man. Like, there's not really other sports that are going to capture our attention. Like, you're not going to get us doing entire 15-minute segments each week on golf or the WNBA, or like you're lucky that we're engaging in the NHL finals that we don't have a team that has a vested rooting interest in it, which we'll get to that up next because of course we're going to.
Of course.
You would expect anything less from us.
Nope.
But it's a rough time of the year, and I'm trying to give, and maybe it is because, you know, as guys who primarily talk sports and watch sports, it's kind of hard not to try and give this team every chance to earn my attention, justify my love, whatever you want to call it. But
how did we do it during COVID? I mean, everything was shut down. We just talk about the 1997 Red Wings every day.
To be fair, that's mostly what you want to do now. That hasn't changed any.
Yes, I mean that's true. Yeah, boy, that was a great team. Oh, wait a minute. Actually, we just had the 28th anniversary of the 1998 win against the Capitals.
Right, we are not doing this again.
I'm gonna make a name all the players.
We already do this on Fight Night at the Joe every year.
Yeah, I know.
Complete with us having to sit there and watch it at my house after we get off the air.
Yeah.
As you watch it like it's the first time you've ever seen this. Like,
there he goes again. Like, oh my God. So much so that we had Darren McCarty in studio talking about it.
And he, what I love is that he's also, every time someone new enters the fight, he's got to announce him like it's the first time he's ever seen him.
Jamie Pusher.
Adam Foote.
And here comes Brandon Shanahan with a folding chair. Anyway, I digress.
But if you ever have the chance to sit and watch that fight with Adam Harahuck in your living room, it is an entertaining time, if nothing else.
If any of you Make-A-Wish kids want to have, like, you know, Make-A-Wish to watch that with me, I'm available.
He's available. It doesn't even have to be for that. Who are we kidding? Like, literally, someone could just, hey, I got a six pack and Natty Light. Want to watch Fight Night at the Joe?
I'm gonna need a bottle of whiskey. But let's do this.
Anyway, we do have a little bit of hockey stuff to get it to, and I will indulge Adam before the last segment of the show on this today. It is happy hour. Stick around. We'll be back right after this. All right, so I've decided I'm going to be nice for possibly the first and only time in recorded history to the man sitting across the board from me and not make him wait until the very end of the show to talk Stanley Cup Finals. So as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
No, usually it's like the second segment, but lately you're like making me twist in the wind. We're doing like unsolicited advices.
Unsolicited advice happens the same time every time we do it.
Am I the, you know, whatever, and it's like I'm chomping at the bit. It's the Stanley Cup Finals. How about, no, let's wait till the very end.
Well, you know, if the Red Wings were involved in it, it might be a little different.
It'd be a lot different.
It'd be possibly the only thing we talked about for the entire show on any given day.
So I had it pretty much in my head that they were going to be handing out a Stanley Cup on Saturday.
I did too.
That did not happen.
Oh, how wrong we were.
Oh, are the Oilers back in this? Because, I mean, they're still down 3-1, but that game 3 in Edmonton, the Panthers won that, but, I mean, the Oilers have fought back, and they really haven't been the underdogs in that game. They came out in game 4 ready to play. They chased Sergei Bobrovsky, who we have both said has basically been our Conn Smythe candidate, chased him out of there. 8-1 was your final on Saturday. They seem to learn how to play Florida's game along with the firepower that they possess. I mean, do you think, what is your honest opinion? Have the Edmonton Oilers
turned a corner,
or are they just stay of execution?
Like, it was really not an opportune time for Bobrovsky to have his worst game of the postseason, but you know, it's going to happen occasionally. Yeah. Like, you're going to have a bad night. Like, even with the travel being what it is, so you're getting all these extra days off and things, like, that's just, I mean, it's going to happen, man. Like, there's just no real getting around that.
No. Connor McDavid with a great night. 4 points, goal, 3 assists on the night. He's showing why he is the big star in the NHL. good on him. Zach Hyman with two assists.
Took him long enough to finally actually get on the board in this series.
Yep, Draisaitl with two assists. Adam Henrik with a goal. And Ryan Nugent-Hopkins also with a goal. Not too shabby. Skinner finishes the night with a .970 save percentage. You'll take that. And that is not something we expected from this team. But
probably the best performance of the playoffs, too.
I mean, then there's also the conspiracists. Oh, the Florida Panthers, they threw that game so they could win it on their own ice.
I mean, maybe.
I don't think
there was any intention of that necessarily, but I'm sure Florida fans and the team itself were not disappointed that they have a chance now to clinch this thing in front of their home fans.
There's definitely a silver lining. How would you like to be, and I'm sure Wings fans have found themselves in this situation, where you're holding a ticket for Game 5. It's in your barn, and you want to go to that game. You're like, do I root for my team to lose? Question mark.
I feel like we've been there. Feel like we've done that.
I'm sure, you know, how many ever years ago it was when the Wings won the Stanley Cup against Washington. They won it in Washington at the MCI Center. And there was probably somebody who had Game 5 tickets at the Joe. Like, oh, come on. Just lose. Don't lose bad. Don't let anybody get injured, but maybe lose that. Come back so I can see it.
Keep
live.
It close, you know, at least. But yeah. But you're hoping that you're going to be able to pull it off, you know, on your home ice. That's always certainly, I think, for a lot of people.
I mean, I'm not sitting here saying I'm a Florida Panthers fan. I'm certainly not saying I'm an Edmonton Oilers fan. So I guess I just want to see some good hockey. And wouldn't this be the story to end all stories? Because in recent history, teams have come back from an 0-3 deficit to win the series, but it was always like in the quarterfinals, the semis, not in the Stanley Cup finals. If Edmonton wins this, oh my God. Canada, enjoy that cup because you earned it.
If you come from behind to win the country's first cup in
30 years,
yeah. Wow. That's, they may as well just close the entire country the next day.
Oh,
certainly,
yeah.
the province of Alberta.
Oh yeah, you won't be able to get anything from the beer store. It's going to be empty. They're just going to shutter all them down, close the border. It's going to be bedlam.
And the Canadian hockey fans are going to get even more insufferable on social media.
What is it? I mean, I've met so many. When we go to Canada, always have a great time. Everybody's so polite.
They're the most polite people you can possibly imagine.
Until you talk hockey.
It's a different thing up there. Also, social media just makes people act like jerks anyway.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah,
here.
You become 10 feet tall and bulletproof when you're behind your phone or a keyboard.
It's always kind of the way it goes.
Just the way it is. I don't know. Game 5 is taking place, what, tomorrow?
Correct.
Tomorrow. Oh, puck drop, 8 o'clock on ABC, ESPN Plus, and CBC. Sportsnet as well. So, and right now, for what it's worth, for all you gamblers out there, I'm not a gambler, but if you are, Florida is -135. The over-under for goals, 5.5. I think with the firepower that we've seen in the last couple of games, I'm going to take the over on that.
I'm absolutely taking the over on that. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's a series where, to this point, let's see, 3 goals in the first game, 5 in the second, and then now 7 and 9 in the last 2 games.
Yeah.
I would say the over is a fairly safe bet here.
Unless Florida just calms down. They just clamp down defensively. Bobrovsky wants to, he's going to want to bounce back just for his own psyche. I mean, get that cup. You know, clamp, play your game and, you know, don't get too cutesy. And definitely, I mean, I know Florida has kind of made it their calling card to get under the other team's skin. Maybe calm down on some of those extracurriculars and just play good D. Give me that D.
I mean, it certainly could not hurt. I mean, Edmonton actually took fewer penalties ultimately than Florida did in Saturday night's game.
Florida has figured it out.
That's minus the too many men on the ice thing. Florida took 5, minus that, well, you know, bench penalty.
Sure.
You had 5 penalties on Florida compared to 3 on the Oilers.
Well, I mean, the refs are probably also looking as pesky as the Panthers try to be. The refs have got their number too. So they're watching for that kind of stuff. But then, you know, you're seeing like, Evander Kane just punching Matt Tkachuk in the face on the way to the bench.
Tkachuk did get a roughing call. Him and Sam Bennett both, actually, in the second period there.
Yep.
Darnell Nurse had a couple calls go his way or against him too.
At the start of this series, we said Florida is able to clamp down defensively. They got great goaltending, and they can get under your skin. Well,
they're very good at that.
Edmonton has kind of started to take pages out of their book, and they've got the 1-2 punch of Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. So, I mean, before the season series started, you said it was going to go to Game 7. You may get your wish.
I still don't think I'm going to, though. I don't think it's going to happen. I would be rather surprised if it did.
Well, if it does happen, it's going to be a week from today, Monday, June 24th. Isn't that really late?
It does seem that way.
Oh, my God. I mean, the very next week is the draft.
So I've given you a bit of a hard time in the past about your driving habits and actually, quite frequently, likewise. Because I used to wonder, how is it Adam is so late so often to the show and things like that? And then I got in a car with you one day when mine was out of commission, and I realized exactly how that is.
I drive like a grandma.
You do drive kind of like a grandma.
I'd rather get there late and alive.
Yeah, I don't really care that much if I get there alive. Then that just means I don't have to be there.
That's right.
So you're probably one of the people who apparently signed off on this. A recent survey finds that most drivers endorse anti-speeding technology in their cars. The report from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety noted that over 60% of drivers say having an audible and visual warning in their cars to indicate when they travel over the speed limit would be adequate. IHS researchers polled 1,800 drivers to share their feedback on intelligent speed assistance systems, which use GPS and a speed limit database, sometimes combined with cameras capable of reading posted signs to identify and adapt to the actual speed limit. Other versions of the technology use a sound warning or flash an alert when a driver goes over the speed limit or exceeds it by a specific amount. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Even though I do drive like a very old person, that's kind of excessive. That'd be a pain in the butt.
I'm not sure that, like, I honestly don't believe that everyone was necessarily answering this survey in good faith.
No.
Some of these, okay, seem
they
reasonable.
They did a survey at the DMV when they're applying for their license.
No, the survey was done entirely by, the survey was done entirely by cops that just still want to have a reason to pull you, some excuse to pull you over, but.
Right.
Okay, over 80% of responders agree they would want a feature displaying the current speed limit.
There have been times where I'm like, Dorothy and I will be driving, and we're like, what is the speed limit here? Sometimes you don't know because there's times that there's a part on M21 when you're heading towards one of our favorite watering holes that I swear it should be 45, 55, but no, it's 35. So I would appreciate that. But if you're like using Google Maps, it tells you the speed limit. Now,
Yeah. See, I don't use a whole lot of Google Maps. I did when I rode one of my guitar players in his Tesla. We made a trip down to Sweetwater and Fort Wayne, and the Teslas have that technology built into where actually like has like a speed limit sign, like this is what the speed limit is, and it's usually accurate. There were a couple times where I noticed that the speed limit on there did not jibe with what the speed limit was on the in the actual. Where we were.
Well, I guess if they up, it's kind of like works off of GPS, I guess. And if you don't update it, it's going to give you what it thinks it is. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to be driving and, you know, alarms going off, lights flashing, or anything like that if you're going five over.
70% of people stated they would want an unobtrusive tone to sound when the speed limit changes. And now we're starting to get
changes,
on the...
When it changes, that's fine. But, you know, not to be like, ahooga, ahooga, slow down, land this thing, you're driving too fast.
Exactly. Like
that. You don't
that
understand,
would be...
you nag. I gotta pee.
Yeah, that would get real distracting.
I got a turtle peeking.
Roughly half of drivers said they wouldn't oppose vehicle technology that makes the accelerator pedal harder to press or automatically limits speed. I call all of the shenanigans in the world on this. I don't think that there's no way that more than half of drivers out there want it to, like, physically be harder
where
to
did
push
you get,
your...
Yeah, who did you ask for this? Because, I mean, your car can go 80 miles an hour, 90 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour. Doesn't mean it should, but let's just say, I mean, the off chance that there's a medical emergency, you have to get somebody to the hospital.
I like to have the ability to do so.
You want to be able to do so. Granddad's having a heart attack. Hang on there, Pop. Aunt Gladys, get your foot over here. Put it on the... Help me with the gas pedal here. that sounds stupid.
No, that sounds terrible. And I would absolutely be opposed to that.
Yeah, that road rage guy wouldn't have caught up to him, but he had that technology and couldn't get his foot down the gas pedal quick enough. And, ooh, yeah, that guy beat the living heck out of him.
He really did. And then separately, about 70% of drivers said they would want ISA, which, again, Intelligent Speed Assistance System, so the stuff that, you know, identifies the speed limit and whatnot. See, they would want it in their next car if their insurance company lowered their premiums based on evidence that they don't speed. Good luck. <Yeah. laughs> No one's getting it. Like, you and, like, three other people I've ever met would actually qualify for the discount on their premium.
They'd raise my premium because they're like, you're holding up traffic. You pylon. Get going. This isn't a parade.
I absolutely would do not, under any circumstances, like the people who have like the smart driving or whatever things installed for their insurance company. I would never do that. For one, it would not be worth it for me because they jack my rates up like crazy. And two,
yeah, you're out hitting wildlife.
it's bad enough they already know about that. I don't need them knowing about anything else I might do.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't need the government, the insurance companies having that much info on me.
Sean gets a report at the end of the month. He's like, apparently you took a corner on two wheels, slammed on the brakes to get to a stop sign, blew through a stop light, went 55 in a 25 school zone, hit a kid. I don't know. That would be bad.
No, no good comes from that whatsoever.
You actually get a phone call from Flo, and she's like not smiling anymore. You get mean Flo.
Couldn't even imagine how bad it would have to be.
Sean, I just want to let you know that I saw your report on Progressive, and I'm just going to say I'm very, very disappointed in you. I'm sending Jamie, the annoying guy from the Progressive. I'm sending him out. You're going to have to ride with him for 12 hours straight.
No! Anything but that!
And you're going to keep riding with him until you learn to straighten up and fly right.
Yeah, no, not happening.
Hang on a second. The gecko wants to talk to you. Blimey, what the...
this always turns into this. But, no, I don't...
What the hell, Sean? Are you driving a fire truck? Where's the fire techs?
I feel like even people who drive, like, more responsibly than I do... I mean, look, I did do pizza delivery for a good stretch of my life and may occasionally often still drive like it. But I don't think... Most people really want to have that technology and certainly not to sign it over to their insurance company.
I mean,
because it has to work the other way, right? Like, sure. If you're not qualifying for the discount, that means they can jack your rates up if they don't like your driving, right?
Oh,
like,
they're not going to.
That cuts both ways, I would
think. They're not going to promote that, but yeah, absolutely. Now, the whole thing about telling me what the speed limit is without being intrusive about it, without being a jerk about it. I want my car being a jerk. I'm cool with that. Everything else, you can hit the brakes on that.
Yeah, I get that. But yeah, giving the insurance. Can I see those things are out with like that have like that phone apps or whatever that monitor your whatever to send it back to your insurance. I don't want any part of that. That's a level two Big Brother for me, and I'm not just saying that because I do drive entirely recklessly. That's just I feel like that's just good. Like they don't need to know.
No.
Because it's only going to be an excuse for them to raise your rates higher. That's all any of that's going to be about. Like, the second they see you going 26 and a 25, that's it. You're going up like 10%.
Yep, that's it. Yep.
That was it. That was just one too far for me.
Jake from State Farm would be calling you up. Yep, you're done, son. Jacking that up.
I'm just calling all of the BS on the idea that they would actually, that there's a majority of drivers out there that would be in support of this. Like this, and then I don't know if you saw this too, where they're talking about, I think they're talking about making a pilot thing in this state where you would get taxed on your mileage as opposed to there being a gas tax now that, you know, we're moving towards like electric cars and things.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, I wouldn't willingly go along with this. Not a chance.
Nobody would. I mean, now I'm like,
give you an opportunity to more accurately tax me? Get bent.
Yeah. Now, before, when I was living like 2.5 miles from work, I'm like, yay. But now I'm living like 15 miles from work. No. But then I feel bad about the people who live in like Lapeer and work in Detroit.
Yeah.
Oh, those poor people.
Yeah, they've got it really rough.
I mean, would it mean that gas tax would not be a thing?
Of course not.
They'd still keep that. So
they'd still keep that.
They tax you on the gas. They tax you on the driving. Yeah.
No, there's always.
Show me that you don't want to be reelected as governor without telling me that you don't want to be reelected.
Right. I don't think this is necessarily her thing. Like there was a. There was some, like, I don't know if it's the whatever transportation committee or whoever handles these things, or maybe just straight up MDOT, that was talking about that as a potential program. Because there's, like, I think 2 or 3 states right now that have that as an opt-in.
Other states are trying this?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Jeez. The person who probably suggested this is probably not. They're doing it anonymously because. You don't want to suggest this, have it pass, and then that'd be a real bristly Thanksgiving afternoon.
Right. Yeah, so right now, apparently, Utah, Virginia, and Hawaii currently have active programs that do this. Oregon's doing it, or I think they're now permanently doing it. Participants there pay 2 cents for every mile they drive, and they have GPS or non-GPS tracking methods.
Yeah, but Oregon, aren't they still one of those states where it's illegal to pump your own gas?
Also true, yes. No, they are.
Yeah, Oregon's weird.
Yeah, it's rather odd. It's equivalent somehow to the 36-cent gas tax at the time that was paid by a vehicle that gets like 20 miles to the gallon. Yeah, no. You want to talk things I really want even less of a part in. But no, lawmakers are apparently asking for $5 million last month to propose budget bills for a pilot program to assess doing that exact thing. Like, well, it's not fair that the electric people, like, that they don't have to pay gas tax on their cars. Well, how is it going to be fair when gas tax is still applied and they're getting a mileage thing? Because you know it's not. I'm not stupid enough to think the gas tax is just going to go away at that point.
No. No, I don't know how much gas tax we pay on a gallon of gas, but the gas, the oil companies would just jack that up. You're used to paying $3.59. You're going to continue to pay $3.59, and now you're going to pay a tax for how far you drive.
Yeah, I don't want any part of that. I also just don't really like the idea of any, whether it's the government or insurance companies or whoever, having more access and knowing more than is absolutely necessary about the vehicle that I'm driving.
Yeah.
They don't need to know how fast I'm going, how many miles I have on my car. Really thankful we don't live in one of those states where they like demand your car be inspected every year.
Oh,
and
like
can
California? Oh, God.
Like Pennsylvania, dude.
They do? They
yeah.
do?
Ask our good buddy Lapeer Main Street manager Jim Alt sometime.
I bet you he's had some quality conversations with those people.
When he lived in Pittsburgh, that was a thing where they actually, and he took it to a car dealership that insisted that there were things that he needed that he did not need done. He took it back to his dealership. They said that nope, those things don't need to be done. And then went back and told the other place. And then his dealership got fined because they were in, I think the other place was in cahoots with the state, not the feds, I guess, but whoever in charge of their government there.
Really?
Like, no. One of these days, if this any of this ever really starts to come to fruition, I will have to,
we'll have to get him in here.
Get him in here to discuss, because I feel like that's definitely a sore spot for him, for sure.
Wow.
But that's the kind of thing, like, I don't need you knowing any more about me, my driving habits, my car. Like, it's bad if you already know what car I drive and the year and the model and everything else. I don't feel like you need to know anything else about it.
Nope. It's all soon until, too many pop bottles tax. And, for you smokers, you didn't clean out your ashtray. That's a taxing.
You better believe that's a taxing. You're always going to find more way to get more money out of you, I guess.
CDs without any cases. Oh, that's a taxing.
Oh, like that's clearly just a Gen Z tax, or not Gen Z, Gen X tax, because no millennials or anybody owns CDs anymore. It is happy hour. Adam's getting way too excited about this over here. As he often does.
I like to make you a twist in the wind.
And I always love pointing out that you usually fail miserably at this.
Well, there was like one where I almost gotcha.
Was there, though?
Yeah.
Or are you just making this up in your own head?
Listeners who are new to this, here is where I come up with a list, usually ranked by somebody who knows a lot more than we do, and I subject Sean to it and make him guess. Today, I have a top 18 entries on the board.
Okay.
And this comes from, let me bring up the list, Statvia.
Huh?
Yep.
You just made up that website.
Yep, I'm just making the things up as I go along. Statista. Oh, I got that way wrong.
That makes a lot more sense.
Statista. Okay. Beer popularity in the U.S. for 2023.
Beer popularity?
Beer brand popularity in the U.S. 2023.
Okay.
Top 18 answers on the board.
I'm going to guess Budweiser is, like, if not number one, pretty close.
Budweiser is number 5.
Where's Bud Light on the list?
Number 2.
Of course! Yeah. Oh, but you know everyone, you know,
yeah. Oh, no.
Something, get woke, go broke, yada, yada.
Yeah, something like that. Still,
number 2 on the list still.
Yep.
Okay, Miller Lite?
Miller Lite, not on the list.
Really? You're kidding.
Let me double check.
That would be a stunner if that's the case.
Well, I mean, nope, I've not seen Miller Lite on there.
Wow, that's kind of stunning to me, because that's like one of the big, like, name brands, man.
Yep.
Okay, Coors Light.
Okay, you know what's really weird? Okay, no.
Did
no,
we already break the list?
No. This list is trash. No Coors Light.
Really?
Nope.
How is that possible? Like, you're talking like the two of, like, the biggest brands in the entire industry.
Well, let's get through this list, and I think I've got a theory as to what's going on here, but...
Well, do you have, like, set me up for what is the criteria here for the inclusion on the list? Like, what is this, what are we measuring exactly?
35% of responders liking it. I gotta edit it, because they're talking about, the number one. Blank is the most popular beer brand in the United States, with 35% of the respondents liking it, followed by this, and share the third spot in the popularity ranking. Brands like blank, blank, blank trail behind in terms of consumer preference.
Oh, so this is just like they did a survey.
United States, August 2023, online survey, 1,107 respondents who knew the respective brands, 21 to 64 years old. Which of the following brands do you like?
Okay, so that didn't give me answers, only more questions.
Yeah.
So I'm going to guess... how high does Modelo rank on the list? Did they make the list?
Modelo is number 8.
Okay. I hear it's like as far as beer, as far as like craft beer, like they've gotten pretty high up on the...
It's good stuff. It's a, and then we had like that, oh no, that was a different brand that keeps showing up in the fridge for like the longest time.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. How about, so is it going to be like a lot of like
You'll find them in your normal local grocery store. Now, there's one I don't remember, but you probably know. And well, just see if you guess it.
Is there any Michigan brands on here?
Like,
would I find like a Two-Hearted?
Actually,
no.
No? Nope. No, no Bells.
No Two-Hearted, no Bells, no Oberon, no...
no Bells.
No Founders?
No Founders.
That is most interesting, sir. How about Labatt? Labatt Blue?
Labatt Blue, not on the list.
Labatt Blue Light?
Nope, not on the list.
Are we talking specifically beer? Like, are we...
Yes.
Like, we're not... Like, so seltzers and things don't apply?
Correct.
Okay. Back to the old drawing board, then. Bush?
Bush, yes. Number 14.
Bush Light.
No Bush Light. That's kind of leading me to my thing where... I don't... Without blowing the whole list, I don't want to discuss it right now. We'll have to wait until after the list.
Oh, I see how he's going to be. He's going to withhold a very important key thing here.
It is. I mean, because the whole thing would crumble. Totally Jenga on me.
You know, that sounds like a you problem for presenting such a terrible list. How about Michelob Ultra?
I'm just going to give you Michelob. Michelob's on there, not Michelob Ultra.
And Michelob doesn't even exist anymore, I don't think. Like, I don't think they make regular Michelob. They discontinued Michelob Light.
That's on here, according to 2023. The problem is they asked normal knuckleheads like us, and you just can't win by doing
You're not going to tell me Natty Light's on this list.
Natty Light comes in at number 17.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
Wow, they really, like, you were a participant in this survey, weren't you? That's the only way this makes sense.
I was all 1,107 people.
I knew it. I had a feeling that was the case. Wow. This is ridiculous is what this is.
You've got this. You got this. Just think outside the box.
Do I, though? Because I'm mostly racking my brain. Like, beer that we sell at my day job. Like, Miller High Life isn't on there, is it?
Miller's on there.
So that's either MGD or Miller. They can't even, like, name, like...
Okay, I'm just gonna.
You're gonna tell me Keystone's on here or something?
Keystone's not on there. No.
How about PBR?
PBR number 18.
Wow, that low. I'm actually kind of shocked by that. How about Killian's?
Killian's not on the list.
Guinness.
Guinness not on the list.
This list is officially trash.
Yeah, this is. Where are they getting? Where this online? They just like go to like a. New Jersey? Is that what they did? Just went online to New Jersey and... oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
That's kind of what I'm wondering here. Like, what is with these people? How about Heineken?
Heineken, number 6.
Okay. This is starting to make a little more... Okay, we're back on track here.
Yes.
How about... what's the other one all the hipsters seem to like these days? Blue Moon. Is Blue Moon on the list?
Blue Moon is number 3.
Okay.
If you're just joining us, I am ranking Sean over the coals. I have top 18 answers. Top beer brand popularity in the U.S. For 2023, according to Statista.
How about, did I guess Corona yet? Is Corona on the list?
Corona is number 1.
Really?
Yep.
I'm kind of surprised by that, but also not really. Like, for whatever reason, those, like, that style of beer has gained popularity, and I don't get it because it all tastes skunky as all get out tonight.
Sometimes I get really in the mood for Corona with lemon. Try to order a Corona with lemon in a loud bar. You're going to get with lime every single time.
Yeah. It does kind of seem like it works out that way, doesn't it?
Yep.
How about... What could possibly be left here? Yingling?
Yingling, number 16.
Okay. I mean, I would guess... it's a little higher than I would guess for not being available in a lot of states.
You're missing number 4, 7, 9, 11, 12, and 15.
I'm missing number... okay. I guessed... Bud and Bud Light already. Rona, Heineken. How about Sam Adams?
Sam Adams, number 15.
I'm running out of like national like domestic beer brands here, man.
I gave
man.
You a hint of one. What, one that kept regrowing in the fridge whenever I'd walk away from it.
What one was that? I thought that was Modelo.
Nope.
What was it then? Was it Dos Equis?
Dos Equis, number 9.
It was a Mexican beer of some sort. How about... And this is when I've like seen places that are not like always necessarily high class, but it gets around enough anyway. Fat Tire? New Belgium's Fat Tire?
No Fat Tire. That's a good beer.
Oh,
yeah, right. No Fat Tire, no Leinenkugel of any kind.
No Leinenkugel, eh?
No.
How about... They wouldn't put Stella on the list, would they?
Stella Artois, yes. Number 11.
I've never had a Stella that didn't taste skunky.
Yeah.
They put something stupid like Beck's on there?
Yes, Beck's. Beck's comes in at number 12.
Of course it would. What am I still missing?
You are missing number 4, which I have not heard of, and number 7. You guessed the variety of it, but they want just the straight. That's what made this list kind of really frustrating for me, because Budweiser and Bud Light are two different entries, but Miller Light are not.
I guess the variety of?
Kind of, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess Anheuser-Busch, they made Budweiser its own brand, and they made Bud Light its own brand. That's why, right. I like those hard colas, hard sodas that we like. That's a Bud Light seltzer, not a Budweiser product.
That is odd. So that's where they put Michelob, Miller, and Coors. That explains a lot now. Which one?
Coors.
Would I...
Okay, yeah. You said Coors number 7. There we go.
Yeah, I said Coors a while back.
You said Coors Light. That's a whole thing.
Well, that's apparently not a whole thing, because I guarantee you, like, the preference is not for Coors Banquet, which is the only other Coors beer that exists.
Correctamundo. They didn't have like a Coors Ice or something, because in the 90s everybody had ice, and every one of them were trash.
They're all trash. They're all made for like maximum boozing and not so much like flavor.
Number 4 is the only one you're missing, and I don't. You may recognize it. I don't. It's named after one of the 5 boroughs.
After one of the Brooklyn Brewing.
Yep, number 4. There you go.
I had a couple things from them. It's okay, but I've never seen it in a bar anywhere.
I haven't either. Well, this is not. Doesn't have to be necessarily a bar.
But I mean, that's usually a pretty good indication of okay, this beer is going to be popular. That you know. That's kind of what I went for. Like, okay, dive bars typically would carry these. Like, if these are like readily available at your local bar or liquor store or whatever.
Well, I mean,
and how often do I see Brooklyn anything ever?
Well,
not even this state.
at a bodega in New York, it's probably all over the place.
Well, yeah, but no one cares about that.
No.
Like, I'm thinking things are more like nationally available and popular.
I have to look that up, because that's kind of what I thought, too. And then they had one, which I took off the list because I couldn't fully read it because the thing was constricted, but it was like New Holland and something. So I didn't know what they wanted.
New Holland?
New Holland.
Oh, that's a beer that's popular over here. Sure, you're not thinking New Belgium?
New Belgium, yes.
The one that, okay, so I would have got that one too, because I guess Fat Tire, like that's their big, like.
It said New Belgium BR dot dot dot, so I don't know what the.
New Belgium Brewing, probably.
Oh, probably, yeah. All right,
now that I've once again successfully made boo, this segment my you know
boo,
what.
Boo.
Yeah, I'll take my victory lap.
As I scroll down this whole article, beer brand consumption in the U.S., there's popularity, there's consumption. Brooklyn Brewing Company is 30%.
I find that very difficult to believe.
Beer brand consumption in the U.S.
I find that incredibly difficult to
Corona
believe.
Corona at 31%. Bud
There's
Light.
Not that many people drinking a beer that no one in this state could pick out of a lineup.
Yeah, that's just what I was going to say. I cannot even imagine what. And Guinness does come up on that list with 18%.
Like, I'm pretty sure Yingling has more like actual presence literally anywhere than Brooklyn Brewery does.
Yep. I mean, United States... August 2023, online survey, again, 1,107. The question was, which of the following brands have you consumed in the past 12 months?
So they just skewed really heavily in favor of people in the area of availability for Brooklyn then. Or just, it was all people, like, in one city that actually, the city that manufactures that beer. but, like, basically calling a bunch of people and, you know, just doing a survey of only people in Pottsville, Pennsylvania, and then being surprised when the survey comes out Yingling, but far and away number one.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was kind of crazy. Whoa, weird.
Crazy
enough.
How that worked. Ooh, I don't know what happened there.
That was nuts.
Totally coincidental.
We went to the Brooklyn Brewing Company, and we just talked to people on their lunch break.
They're all actually wearing Brooklyn Brewing Company shirts and everything. It's crazy.
And yeah, Corona still comes up as number one. The CEO's like, what am I going to do?
What am I going to do to these people to make me like their, make them like our beer? We're already paying them what gifts? Yeah. We got to hit a break. We'll come back and close this thing out next. It is Happy Hours to Ground. Well, baseball has, well, once again, let me down. No surprise there. Kind of felt like this was coming, but at least we have a couple college football stories that we can laugh at real quick.
That's going to be here before you know it.
It really is. It feels like it's a long ways away now, but... Well,
2 months?
It's 2 months too long, but I have a couple things I think you'll get a little bit of a chuckle out of. Cue the music!
It's time for the picks. I'm sorry.
You're right. So apparently... all is not going well in the old Big 12. Apparently, things are really not going well in Colorado, where the whole Coach Prime thing is going over about as well as could have been expected. You know, you may remember last year, he stormed in there, made a big old show of everything, made his son the QB, and they proceeded to lose the vast majority of their games because, you know, that's exactly
nepotism
how...
Nepotism doesn't always work, people.
No, not necessarily. And he's so insistent, oh, Shador's getting picked number one in the draft when he, you know, goes to the NFL. And I don't believe it for a second. Yeah, they ended up going 4-8 last season. And apparently a bunch of players hit the transfer portal over the weekend. As Deion Sanders reportedly made the prime weekend Lil Wayne concert mandatory for his entire football team. A source told Athlon Sports' Steve Corder that such demand was the final straw for several Buffs who proceeded to hit the portal during the May 1st to 15th transfer portal window. The Wayne concert was the final straw for a few players who hit the portal, a source told Corder. When Coach Prime told us we all had to be there to support Shador as a rapper, they were not happy at all. To be honest, it was nothing but a huge distraction and Daddy Ball was being played. The mandatory show upset some, while others dealt with heavier locker room issues pertaining to initiations and gambling. I mean, that's amazing. Like,
you have to go to a concert.
You have to go to a concert because his son's already just over the whole football thing, I guess. So, like, I'm going to be a rapper now, and his dad says you all have to go.
You all have to go to my son's rap show. Open up for Lil Wayne, and if you want a spot on the team, you're going to do this. And a lot of them are like, deuces.
Yeah.
I'm at the transfer portal, and I'm out of here.
I'm going to take the chance that we'll get to stick around and maybe win 6 games next season. Yeah, fun. Yeah, I mean, the force them all to go to a concert's one thing, but because it is, you know, the coach's son, you know, in his budding rap career.
Yeah. See, it started out great with the great way because he wanted to get the players paid. I mean, I think that makes more than enough sense.
Sure.
It started out like that, but now, just like we see in all through history, people have a little bit of authority and it goes straight to their head. And now he's got this nepo baby of his son. It's not a good look.
No, it's not. Like, and really anything since he left the first school that Deion had coached at was at Jackson State. Pretty much everything since he left there has just been kind of a joke, man. Like, he made that school relevant. Was talking about, you know, how seriously he wanted to make you know, HBCU's relevant again, and then immediately goes and bolts for a Power 5 gig the second one becomes available to him. And then he comes there, obviously, you know, alienates everybody, makes his son the head, the QB there, and it's gone about as well as everyone kind of expected it would. Like, yeah. I know a lot of people were still expecting, well, it's prime time. Like, there's still the star power alone is going to be enough to carry this thing. As it turns out, no, it ain't. Like, he's going to be able to recruit people there just because it's prime. I mean, he's one of the greatest players, you know, the NFL ever seen.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And
but
as it turns out, in this case, the ego was more of a hindrance than a help,
yep.
As it turns out. So that, I don't feel like that's something that's going to end up going very well. I mean, and his kid, to be fair, Shador's not a completely untalented QB. He's certainly got some flaws, but he's not going to be the number one QB taken in his draft class, I would say.
That's hype. Sanders has been using that hype for his entire career.
Right. But I feel like it's going to end up being I'm calling Bronny James syndrome, where he's got all the hype in the world because of who his dad is, and he's really just kind of, as the kids say, mid as a player.
Oh yeah.
Because I mean, Bronny, really the only reason anyone wants him is because, well, LeBron has said, I'm going wherever my son does.
Yep.
So which is kind of why I want the Pistons to draft him, either to get him here and lure players here, or so we can get a nice haul for whatever team they decide that they actually want to go to. But except the even bigger problem is that I don't think it's necessarily the same with Bronny, but Shador has got every bit of the ego and the attitude that his dad does without quite as much talent to back it up.
Yeah.
So this is just going to, I think, go horrendously. Like, if they manage to go above 500 this season, I'll be stunned. Absolutely shocked, honestly. So there's another story going on in the Big 12, apparently. This is kind of hilarious to me that, of course, it would be this league. The only way this could be funnier is if what's left of the Pac-2 had gone this route. The Big 12 is exploring selling its naming rights to a title sponsor with potential revenue of hundreds of millions of dollars over the course of the deal, sources told ESPN on Thursday. And when you might think, you know, much like how it's the Detroit Red Wings presented by whoever, whatever their sponsor is on the ice or whatever, because they did that thing for a while where like in official correspondence, it's like the Red Wings presented by insert mortgage company here. I don't care. They're not a sponsor of ours, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But it's going to be more ingrained than that. The commercial sponsor would potentially take the name Big out of the Big 12 and replace it with the sponsor's name. We could literally be talking about
the Buick 12.
The Geico 12.
The Geico.
the Allstate 12. I mean, at least at that point, it sounds, even if you don't know that it's corporate sponsorship, at least it sounds like it has half of a, it sounds like it's respectable at least.
Right.
As opposed to if you just call it, the John Deere 12.
John
or
Deere
something.
12.
Like,
the Dollar General 12.
Yes! They'd be one of the few companies big enough to actually be able to afford this. And they probably have a sizable footprint in every city that currently has a Big 12 team.
The Dollar General, 12 items or less.
Like, everything I know, we slap names on everything these days. Sponsorships are rampant with stadium names and
but does that really
patches.
Help? I mean, we've talked about this. Does it really help? I mean, am I going to, if it's a car company that endorses it or advertises with the Big 12, am I going to go out, or is anybody go out and get that vehicle because of that? No.
No. No, it doesn't, not any more so than when they slap their names on bowl games.
I can't even keep track of them.
Because they change every year. you know, to be fair, the Big 12 is not, especially now that Texas and Oklahoma are gone, they're kind of on the border of being a poverty conference anyway. We could, or maybe we pitch this to the Pac too, because, you know, there's a lot less of a financial barrier. We should just buy the rights to the names of one of these conferences, just a happy hour conference.
Yeah, there we go.
I think that's what needs to be done.
The happy hour too.
Right? We could get the Pac-2 deal for a song, I feel sure. like. Because there's nobody left. Like, granted, no one in Washington or Oregon knows who we are, but when's that ever stopped us from doing something stupid before? What, how much it cost to buy the naming rights, like the Mac or something?
It'd be bought by a cheese company in Wisconsin. Mac Cheese 12.
Exactly. Anyway, we got to get out of here. A full hour of Michigan-made music comes your way next on a little show that Adam likes to call a solid state something or other.
Psychological exam.
Yeah, that it might as well be. Sessions is up next. I'll be well. We'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya.